it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now, here's Leslie.
Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you are an art maker, an art breaker, an art faker, or an art partaker, welcome all, because of course all are welcome to Homegrown, your show about local art, brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. I'm the one that they call Clinton, and I'm here with the person who is Lisa. I should be here. Where is she? Where is she? I'm here with the person who is the Esther Roll to my Jimmy Walker. That's Leslie M. Scott Jones, who is out looking around for at something. We're going to start the show, though we always start the show, with our Trump-Pence report for this week. New York Post. There she is. Hello, Leslie.
Here I am.
There you go. We're going to start the show with our Trump-Pence report for this week. The New York Post reports that Trump has skipped all intelligence briefings.
Yeah, I saw that.
Maybe not all of them. More than all, except for a couple.
Yeah, he's only getting like one a day or something.
Not even that much. However, happy dappy Mr. Pence is stepping in for him and has been taking them. And also with the New York Times reporting that Mike Pence has taken over leading the transition team, I'm ready to call it. I'm ready to call it like they call Wisconsin, baby.
Okay.
Which is
what?
Pence in control. Pence in control.
Well, duh.
I think it's time to call it. And thus leads to my nonviolent artistic protest suggestion of the week.
Oh boy.
Two of them. One, okay. First off, went through this already with W. Bush. I say, let's not mess around. W. Bush, which, by the way, I refer to it as the Cheney Rove administration.
Yes, of course.
At the time, we all said President George W. Bush, you know, just sort of as a courtesy.
Right.
I say, can we just call it what it is? Can we just call it what it is? It's going to be potentially, I mean, if Mike Pence is taking the steering wheel, that's potentially 16 years of him running the country. Can we just call it what it is? Here is my suggestion. President de jure, Donald Trump. President de facto, Mike Pence. Give you little okay. Terms,
all right.
Little terminology there,
right?
To shake with you, I say that's the official term. President de jure, Donald Trump.
Okay.
President de facto.
Oh my.
De facto.
Yes, I know. Mike Pence. I love when you do accents.
There you go. And so for my second nonviolent artistic protest. This will take a little bit of crafting on your part. I suggest, but there's the potential to make money if somebody wants to be industrious.
Okay.
Make t-shirts and sell them to Trump supporters. T-shirts that say, I voted for Donald Trump and all I got was this lousy Tea Party governor from Indiana.
Oh!
Boom! There you go.
Ouch. Ouch.
That's
it's truthful.
The art of the deal right there.
Right. Yeah, of course. I'm sorry. I had a coughing fit.
Did you?
I did. I had a little coughing fit. Nobody wants to hear that. No, nobody wants to hear me like hack up a lung. That's
you
not.
You were touching the monkey.
The
monkey
what?
Was on your back.
No.
You were taking a cig break. That's what you were.
Well, I was doing that first, but then I had a coughing fit.
The two go together.
No, they don't.
Where have you been decades of public services?
My God. I am ill right now, okay? Uh-huh. I've had a cold for like 2.5 weeks. It's the cold. My mom said the same thing over Thanksgiving. She was like, is that cool because of the smoking? I was like, oh, my God.
How... Heavens that we would actually think that your cough would be connected to your prodigious smoking habit.
Oh,
what a surprise for us.
You know what? Can we get on with the show, please?
We can, Jeez. Because we have a great show. We have some great guests here. We're going to go for our first guest, Peter Jones. How's it going, Peter?
Hey, Clinton. Glad to be here.
Ooh, I mean, if I got you on yet.
Let's see if I'm potted up. There we go.
Yeah, push the button.
Button.
Amazing what happens when you push a button.
And we're all about pushing buttons on this show, as you can see.
I've noticed.
Usually for each other. Peter, you're here because you are at the head of... Well, you're here because you're a great guy, but also, specifically, you're at the head of an organization that's near and dear to my heart, and I think many people's hearts in town, an organization that went away and came back, the Prism Coffee House music series.
Indeed, the Prism Coffee House started back in 1966 by a group of students over at the University of Virginia. They needed a place to hang out, and some of the ministers in town called the God Squad came together and and offered them a space over by the Westminster Presbyterian Church, and that's where it was for 40 years until 2006 when it closed its doors and kind of went into hibernation. And I've been, during that time, I worked on 16 years worth of the recordings, the masters, and have been broadcasting them on different stations around the globe. But about 4 years back, we started working on getting it back to Charlottesville and put together a great board. And
now, was that always the intent? So were you, part of it during the hibernation period?
I was. I was the one paying all the tax bills and all that to make sure that we stayed a nonprofit organization. And we had a small board, but in 2012, we started adding more members. There were three of us, or four of us at the time, and now we're up to nine members of the board, and we each have our own responsibilities. And when we first started, we were doing some shows over at the Haven as well as Seville Coffee. We've kind of transitioned mostly to Seville Coffee now, and we bring in traditional acts from all over the globe. And it's a real great way, traditional and beyond acts, I should say, to make sure that as a nonprofit, we're making sure that traditional music has a place in Charlottesville, because unfortunately, there just aren't enough places for it to occur.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Because I know that, I am getting up there in years, getting up there and getting below there in years. As I sink deeper and deeper into the depths, but yeah, I've got a lot of really nice memories at Prism Coffee House. I've seen a lot of wonderful people at Prism Coffee. I saw, because everyone's got these stories, right? People they saw at Prism Coffee House. I saw Ani DeFranco.
Yeah.
Early in her career, during the winter, where most of her band had been snowed in somewhere, so she was just there with her drummer.
Right.
And in a teeny tiny room, here I was watching Ani DeFranco play. And this is great. It's great. Absolutely great.
Those are the days when Ani DeFranco was still tuning her own guitar, so she would tell you amazing stories. These days, she's got people tuning them, so she's kind of cut out all the stories. But I remember those early days myself. And, you know, what I've loved about the Prism is you bring in acts from all over the globe and all different genres, too. I remember that, you know, Sheikh Amala Jabate, the premier. He's a, being a Jabate, he is a storyteller from Mali. And he came in his first time ever in this country was performing at the Prism Coffee House. And he's a master of the Ngoni, which is kind of like the lute. And whenever I see him, he comes in and goes, "Oh, Peter Jones, you are from the Prism Coffee House. I love this day." And he said, when can I come back and play? And we love, and he's hard now. You know, he's so popular. He travels all over the globe.
Right,
but the Prism is really where he got his start here in this country. And then we've got a young fellow by the name of Seth Swingle, continuing on with the West African instrument. He did his Fulbright scholarship over in Mali, and he's going to be coming back. He grew up here in Charlottesville, but he studied the kora, which is another West African instrument, as well as the Ngoni, and he's coming back from London, where he lives now, and he's going to be doing a concert in January demonstrating both the kora and the banjo, of which he's a master. He's won international awards for his performing, and we bring in jazz artists, folk artists. The Prism is a place where we can make sure that traditional music has a place and artists have a place that they can perform.
So let's talk about that a little bit. So define for me, what is traditional music? What do you mean by that?
Well, music that before commercial radio came on, you could go out into the community and hear people coming together and playing music together. And it's songs that have been taught from generation to generation, and no one sometimes knows who wrote those songs, and so they become a part of tradition. And of course, there are some songwriters whose music some associate because it's been so common that it's traditional music, and in fact, they don't get the credit that they deserve. But it's music that, you know, you can go from one valley to the next, and the words might change, but it's essentially the same song. A few years ago, down at the National Folk Festival, John Lohman from the Virginia Folklife Program and the state folklorist had two artists in. One was Hazel Dickens, incredible, out of the, wrote some of the finest songs and performed. And the other one, whose name is Hazel Dickens, is from a white background, and Nat Reese, African American. They grew up 15 miles apart, and he got them up on stage together. They'd never met, both of them in their 70s, 80s, and they were trading songs back and forth, and very close, but also different, and traditional tunes that were taught in the different communities. And the Prism and places like the Virginia Folklife is where we can make sure that that type of art survives.
So what you call traditional music, I'm used to hearing hardcore folkies referred to as folk music. And I noticed that you're not using that term. Is that intentional? Is there some type of distinction that you want to get there? Is there a confusion that you want to avoid?
Well, there's folk music. We do that as well, but we don't only do just folk music at the Prism. And so, and some folks, like the program before yours, hosted by John Hill, he does a lot of singer-songwriters, and folks call that folk music as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the singer-songwriter style of folk, and then you have traditional folk. And we do some of the singer-songwriter, but we primarily focus on the traditional style of folk and other genres that have traditional sounds as well. But then we also push the envelope. Like in April, we are bringing in two fiddlers, one from Denmark and one from Quebec. And they're taking traditional music and then weaving in more modern sounds as well. And that's probably the act that's coming up in the winter and spring part of the Prism season that I'm most excited about. I go out to this international folk conference every year, and there are 400 acts performing every 25 minutes in these hotel rooms.
Holy
and smokes. I don't allow myself to spend more than 5 to 10 minutes per room. But with this duo, they're called Maya and David, I went to every one of their private showcases as well as their official showcases and sat through each of those 25-minute sets because I was so taken with them. And it's because, and when I bring them up to other artists who come through the area, they will say, oh, gosh, what they're doing is just, it's so inspiring, and it lets us go back and see what can we do with our own traditions and how we can push it into the next stratosphere with what we're doing as well. So there are just so many things that the Prism does, and it's wonderful to be able to bring them to Charlottesville and to Central Virginia and give them a home where they can make sure that what they're doing counts.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I need to stop saying awesome because that's my go-to word. Anybody who listens to these shows a lot, they're just sitting there. In fact, I think I've heard rumors that there's a homegrown drinking game that every time I say awesome, you take a shot of coffee because it's Sunday morning, right?
Well, although I know a few folks who play with the harder rules as well on Sunday morning when they don't have any place to go, And I shouldn't forget, we are closing out the first half of our season, Clinton, mm-hmm. with two of the masters of old time music, Dirk Powell and Riley Baugus. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Mountain.
I did not.
Cold Mountain, rather, yeah. With Natalie, not Natalie, Nicole Kidman and Jude Law, based on the best-selling novel, Renee Zellweger. Well, they both are two of T-Bone Burnett's favorite musicians, and whenever he does a movie, brings these two in. And so they're coming in this Friday evening to close out, and it's been years since these two have shown up in Charlottesville. And so that's what we're doing, is we're giving a place for great artists who sometimes are playing up at the Lincoln Center, and the next night they'll be here in Charlottesville playing for the Prism. So we are giving Charlottesville that opportunity, and I love that we've brought the Prism back in such strength.
Awesome. I think we should do a drop on that. 16 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, your show about local art. If you're just joining us, we're sitting here with Peter Jones from the Prism Coffee House, talking about the Prism Coffee House, about its history, about its mission, and about the great things that it's got coming up. Peter, Do you miss the old space? Because right now you guys are performing in, mostly in...
Primarily in Seville Coffee.
At Seville Coffee.
Which we love being there. Certainly, we would love to have our own space so that we could do more concerts and, you know, bring in workshops as well. We have friends such as at the Front Porch, another group mm-hmm. here in town, and they're able to put on workshops for a lot of the acts that we bring to town.
That's neat. That seems like that would be a really great beneficial pairing between you guys and Front Porch. We've had the Front Porch people on on the show.
And, you know, the Prism in the old space used to be able to do that during the afternoons. You were talking about magical performances. There's a fellow by the name of Pierre Bensoussan.
Oh, yeah,
Algerian,
yeah, yeah.
Incredible guitarist. And he used to do one night in French.
He was a frequent flyer for the
Prism. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. He showed up, and, in fact, he put out 40 years of his music, and over a quarter of it came from the Prism Coffee House recordings.
Woo-hoo!
But... two things. One, he would always do his workshops, one in French as well as in English, and the concerts. But two, one magical night, and Jeff Romano here in town talks about this, as do many others, they lost power, and Pierre just, they brought in candles, and he just did an acoustic show. And, you know, because Pierre likes to do a lot of looping and such, but he just went straight to the acoustic, and people still to this day talk about that night and how special it was. Uh-huh. And that's and we've done that as well, where we've had acts say, you know what, the heck with this microphone. Come on up closer and let's just play around the campfire.
That's great. That's great. So here's the question. The question is, considering how much of not just music, but how much of our culture is commercially driven, that is to say, how much commercial means and commercial benefit are the accepted justification, and usually the only accepted justification, to do things. Why do something like this where you've got so many, admittedly, talented people, but so many people who are unknown for the most part, and thus a hard sell?
Well, as a nonprofit, that's our mission, is to make sure that tradition has a place in Virginia and to keep that ember still lit the ember still is in fire. No, what's the proper term?
Yeah. The ember still
burning. The ember is still burning. So
fan that ember into a flame.
There we go. Thank you, Clinton. And ba boom.
Ba boom.
and last night we had the amazing Dry Branch Fire Squad. They've been around for 41 years.
Nice segue. Yeah. Ember to the Fire Squad. Well done. Well done.
And we had some kids running around who were being exposed to this music, and they were asking their parents for instruments. They said, God, I want to play that mandolin. And that's what we're doing, is we're making sure that the generations continue to see this music and want to take something from it, and maybe then they'll teach their next generations. And that's why the Prism Coffee House is here in town, is to make sure that traditional music and part of, you know, a culture is able to flourish.
Do you think that there is a level of intimacy or a level of connection that gets established by these performers in this venue that you don't get in other venues? Because I'm thinking about your story about Bensoussan. I'm thinking about experiences that I've had going to Prism shows years and years ago, and how different they are from just, like, say, other concerts.
Yes, you know, in a lot of commercial acts, and whom I enjoy, you know, during their break, they'll go back to the green room and they'll have others selling their merch, the merchandise for them. But with our Prism shows, these artists know that if it weren't for the people coming out to see them, because they're certainly not getting any exposure on commercial radio or putting out, of course, MTV doesn't even do music videos anymore.
Right.
But they need the community to come out and support them. They're as much as we need them to make sure that our own hearts don't just dry up from the lack of tradition in our lives. Because, mm-hmm. you know, what I love about Thanksgiving, having just passed, is it brings all the generations together, whether it's your family or friends, and you're each sharing something around the table. You know, in the Jewish faith, they have the Passover, where they go through history and they talk about how the Jews have started and all the struggles they had. And that's the same with Thanksgiving. And it brings friends and family together, and the Prism does that too. It brings these young and old together, and it allows society and culture to thrive in a way that you can't see at the more commercial venues, I don't think, having been to some of them here in the area, because the acts go and they take their breaks. But the artists are there to interact throughout the break. They'll sit down, or afterwards they may even lead a jam so that amateurs can come in and they say, hey, how did you do that? And they'll all sit around and play some tunes together. And that's what organizations like the Prism bring to the table.
Awesome. Take a drink. Take a shot. That was a well worth shot right there. Peter, you've mentioned some of it already. If you can remind us the great things that are coming up from the Prism that people can catch.
Absolutely, Clinton. The final program of this first half of the season is this Friday, December 2nd, over at Seville Coffee with Dirk Powell and Riley Baugus. We kick back up in January on with a great Canadian artist by the name of Old Man Ludica out of Nova Scotia, and it continues all the way through May. We've got that young fellow playing the banjo in the core I talked about, this group out of Colorado called Tarka. We've got dancers coming in. We've got one of the legends of Scottish fiddle coming in with by the name of Alistair Fraser and his partner, Natalie Haas. Best thing to do, because there's just so much I'm throwing at you, is to visit prismcoffeehouse.org.
Prismcoffeehouse.org.
And we're on Facebook as well, Prism Coffeehouse.
Excellent. Peter Jones, thank you very much. And thank you guys to the Prism. Thank you to the Prism Coffeehouse for bringing the good stuff.
Thanks to you for the invite here to your great program.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. He's so sweet.
I know.
23 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, your show about local art. Make sure you stay afterwards for Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with Sean McCord. He's going to be talking to Shiva Vedyanathan, professor of media studies and law at UVA and media and politics. But before we get there, you still got us for another half an hour or so. So let's talk about some of the artistic shows that are in town for you coming up. Currently running from now until December 11th, Christmas time is here. Charlie Brown Christmas at Fort County Players. If you haven't gotten tickets yet, good luck. I think it's probably sold out for the rest of the run. Ridiculous. But it sounds like it's pretty good today. And if you want to hear about it, you can listen to the podcast for our last show. Was it last week that we did that? Did we talk about it? Yeah. Podcast for our last show. And we'll talk to some people from Fort County Players about it from today. Acting Masterclass by Mike McGee at Guerrilla Theater. November 29th to December 30th, American Shakespeare Center switches to their holiday season. It's the same old favorites from last year, Christmas Carol, The Santa Land Diaries, and The 12 Dates of Christmas. If you haven't seen these, they are well worth seeing, especially The Santa Land Diaries and The 12 Dates of Christmas. If you are sick to death of sappy, sentimental Christmas stuff, but still want to get into the holiday spirit, well, this is your remedy right here. November 29th, auditions for Peter and the Starcatcher at Live Arts. Be prepared to read from the script, do movement, and sing a song. If you can carry or play a tune or play an instrument, be prepared to do that as well. November 30th, the LYAO Comedy Open Mic Night at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. December 1st, I know where you're going on December 1st.
You do?
I do. I know exactly where you're going to be.
Where am I going to be?
December 1st in the evening. Rita Dove is reading from her latest work, Collective Poems, 1974 to 2004, at PVCC at the V.R. Dickinson Building.
Yeah, you're right. I'm going to be there.
You're looking for Leslie. That's where she is. Also, December 1st, Lighthouse Studio and Indie Film Minute present their latest in indies at Vinegar Hill. The movie is That You? A story about a 60-year-old projectionist, Israeli projectionist who travels through rural America in search of his childhood love. December 1st, also, the MFA reading series at Millie Joe Coffee and Gelato continues with Michael Dine and Nicole Lefebvre. December 2nd, the 7th annual Haven Art Auction at Old Metropolitan Hall goes on. It's an auction of local artists auctioning off their works to benefit the Haven. Good art, good cause, good grief.
We talked about that last year. We had them on the show, right?
We did. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. December 2nd, Geology of Thought, a collection of travelogues and documentaries, Lighthouse Studios, Vinegar Hill Theater. And also December 2nd, Second Street Gallery's Gallery Rally. Look that up if you don't know anything about it. It sounds like it's going to be fascinating. And here are just some of the musical options that you've got available to you. You ready? Kick back. Here we go. Today at Pro Ray Not a Farm Brewery, it continues their team songwriter showcase with Isabel Bailey, Anna Jo Johnson, Sam Kelly, and Sarah Lopez. Also today, our man Jason Burke at Glasshouse Winery. And also, going back-to-back, Michael Clem at Cunningham Creek Winery and Farm Store. Tomorrow, Maroon plays with Smoke Signals, Murrah Bees, and Beat Turtle. Also tomorrow, ATM Unit at Rapture. November 30th, Quiet Fire at the Bebedero. December 1st, the Michael Ellswick Gathering at Fellini's, Neil Goodlow at Dirty Nelly's, The Wave, Aide and Tadja, and DJ Wolfboy at the Anteroom. December 2nd, Orm Storm at Wild Wolf Brewery, some Nelson County rock coming to you. Also on December 2nd, the Chickenhead Blues Band at Fellini's, Open Mic Night at the James River Brewery, and DJ Tulo at Tavern on the Green. On December 3rd, oh my gosh, so many things to do this week. December 3rd, the recital of the Chamber Music Seminar in Brooks Hall at the U V of A. Also on December 3rd, the Blue Ridge Chamber Orchestra Fall Concert at Christ Episcopal Church, John Durth at Fellini's, Jason Ring at the Whiskey Jar, Jim Wave at Albemarle Cider Works, and our boys and that one wonderful woman, Mama Tried, at Batesville Market. Remember, every Sunday, it's the singer-songwriter night at the local. Every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Tuesday, also, it's the open mic night at the Anteroom. Every Wednesday, open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Bob Bonetta at Cafe Cotura. And every Wednesday, the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Every Thursday, the Woman Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And if you can't take that, go down to the downtown mall. Take a left at Miller's. Step in where the jazz is so rad and hear the John Durth Quintet, because every once in a while you just got to come down to Durth. And those are just some of the artistic events that we can see in our wonderful artistic town. If you are an artist and have an event, please contact us at www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc, or you can email the event to us at homegrown947@gmail.com. 30 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, your show about local art, brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. Blue Moon Diner, breakfast all day, every day, with brunch on Saturday and Sundays, and carefully constructed diner food in the afternoons and the evenings on the weekdays. And speaking of the evenings and the weekdays, Blue Moon Diner is nice enough to support visiting and local artists this week. Tuesday, Roma Swing Gypsy Jazz with the Detrenny Brothers from North Bend, Washington State. On Wednesday, it's Jim Wave. And on Thursday, the Strangled Darlings from Portland, Oregon. And Fridays, that favorite blues jam, Blues and Stuff, all at the Blue Moon Diner, 521 West Main Street. Stay tuned after our show, of course, for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Sean McCord. Today, he's going to be talking to Shiva Vedyanathan, professor of media studies and law at UVA, talking about the intersection between media and politics. Do media and politics have an intersection?
You don't think they do?
I don't. Why would there be an intersection at all?
You don't think so?
Media and politics? No. In fact, I don't think the media played any significant part in this past run. I couldn't do it.
You just had to hang in there for a couple of seconds.
It was a second or so. And I just couldn't do it.
Oh my goodness, Clinton.
Let's talk about our next guest.
Yes, our next guest, Miss Judy Gary, the music director and conductor for Virginia Consort. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be here in this fantastic studio.
Oh, thank you. We're delighted to have you. So, you are here to talk about the holiday concert that you guys are doing.
Yes, I am, and the Virginia Consort in general. We are in our 27th season, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And we've been doing
27th?
I know it, and I'm only 25, so figure that out.
Right,
you
know?
I know. Who figured that out?
Wow, you were directing when you were very, very young.
In utero.
Of course.
Anyway, so yes, but we have a traditional, we call it actually a Christmas concert, but we look at it as a concert for everyone. You don't have to be any religion or any background at all. It is, in fact, a celebration of love.
Oh, that's lovely.
And you think love is born and reborn and celebrated every year.
Yes.
So that's what it is. But we do a lot of traditional music and carols, and we have a sing-along at the end, and it's really terrific.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. So what's your sing-along at the end?
Hark. Oh. The Herald Audio. But it's really, it's hard to describe the power of it.
Yes.
You know, with an entire audience singing and all that. It's good.
So 27 season.
I know.
You guys have been going for a while.
Yeah, we have.
So how did the Virginia concert start?
Well, I was a director of another group here and then left that. Mm-hmm. And had a couple of really cute tenors who came and said, we want to keep singing with you. Let's form another little group. And, you know, and so I said, oh, right. And so we started in a church basement, you know, in a choir room singing. And pretty soon.
And once you've got the tenors, the hard part is over, right?
Yeah. And listen, you're right. That's actually true.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I know. But so we started there and the group sort of, I had a bunch of singers that liked it that I'd been working with already. And so the core of the Virginia Consort has become really what we call a chamber chorus.
Right.
It's hard to get in. We've got a lot of music teachers in there. A lot of people are music majors. They've studied voice, and it's a chamber chorus. So you know, when people think of a choir concert, they say, oh.
Isn't that sweet?
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Honey, you've no idea.
Right? Yes.
And unless you've been, you have no idea the power and the joy of the entire experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been singing in choir since I was knee-high to a duck. So,
Wesley!
That's great! I know. Yeah, when I was in high school, we actually formed I was in four different choirs in high school.
Yes.
And our director at the time had just graduated from JMU.
Yeah.
And she was like, let's form an a cappella group. And all of us were like, yes! Let's do that! Because we're complete geeks.
Of course.
And we did really traditional a cappella music from like 17th and 18th centuries.
Yes!
So that's, and I've been, you know, singing in church since like
we have
forever.
To have a long conversation after the show is over.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We'll get coffee. So... So you started in the little church basement, and are you still rehearsing in that same church basement?
No. Well, we rehearse. Rehearsal space for a good chorus has several things.
Yes.
First of all, you got to have a piano.
Yes.
You got to have a big enough space.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a good acoustic.
Yes.
It's got to be warm. It can't be dry.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have parking places.
Yes.
You got to be able to get in. All the bubbles. Now we're lucky to have found the senior center.
Oh.
So that's where we go.
Great.
Because after our Christmas concerts are over, and we have a bunch of paid engagements as well as the concert we put on.
Right.
Then we add, for the middle concert of our season, we add 75 people and do a major work with orchestra.
Wow.
Yeah, this season we'll be doing the Mozart Requiem in Cavill Hall. Full orchestra.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, again, it's life-changing.
Well, and Cavill Hall has... great acoustics for singing.
You know that.
Yes.
It's the best in town.
It really is.
Hands down, the best in town.
Yes. That room was literally built for people to sing
in. It truly was.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad that you know that. That's great, Leslie.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, I've gone to concerts there before, and I'm just like, oh, my God. It's literally like the music surrounds you
when you're in
that room.
And if you sit back a little bit, it just envelops it. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
Oh,
okay.
Excellent.
So how many concerts do you guys do a year?
Well, we give, we present two concerts at Christmas because we do back to back. And then we have a March concert and then we have one in May. And the May one is going to be music for the stage.
Ooh.
So mostly opera choruses and stuff like that.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun.
Okay. So how do you pick the pieces that go into, I mean, we know you pick the Christmas stuff. We know how you pick that. But the other concerts, how do you pick that?
I start thinking, what'll be good? What'll be good? What'll be good? For Christmas, I start in July.
Yeah.
The stack of music is amazing.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I go to conferences and I go to this and that and I look through all the stuff. You would not want to see my offices in my house.
I'm sure.
It's plural.
Yes.
I have three offices. One is my dining room table. Oh, the ones upstairs.
Overflow.
Yes. Yeah, overflow, exactly. Just stacks and stacks of stuff. And I go through it, and willow, I guess is the word, and finally choose the stuff. And then for the Cavill Hall, sometimes I try to think outside the box, and sometimes I just want to do a really, really well-known thing that's close to my heart. Mm-hmm. I've done the Mozart Requiem several times. I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah.
But we're pairing it with two pieces by a contemporary 21st century composer. That sounds scary, because generally contemporary music.
I'm scared.
I bet you. I can see you quaking. Anyway,
Clinton had to sit down. He was so scared.
I know, Clinton. I know. But contemporary music has a bad rep in that you think it's going to be something very cerebral that nobody really cares if you listen to.
Yes.
But this isn't there. Uh-oh.
This is how bad a rep contemporary music has.
Yes.
I was a kid. My parents pulled me in to see a piece of quote-unquote contemporary
yes.
music at some place. In the middle of it, maybe not in the middle, at some point of it, one of the people in it was some atonal, strange, bizarre thing. Somebody got up in a concert hall, people dressed up, all snooty. Somebody
happened?
Got up and booed from the audience.
Oh. Wow.
They really, okay. I have been in conversations with very erudite composers, mm-hmm. at university composers, who say they don't really, their goal is not to communicate with people. They don't care if people care about their music.
Yeah.
Well, there are a bunch of contemporary composers who don't feel that way at all.
Okay.
One of them's name is, ready for this, Z. Randall Stroop. You never heard of this guy. He's written gorgeous music.
Oh.
And a couple of, we're doing a couple of his pieces for March. And one of them is a piece to a poem by Robert Frost called The Pasture.
Oh.
I'm going out to feed the little calf. I won't be there long. You come too.
Oh, that's so great.
And the other is Lamentations of Jeremiah. You've got to come. You've got to come to this. Look at him. He's scared.
Yes,
but
he's very
it's
scared.
Be, it's
Clinton's
be,
scared of everything.
Yeah, I know, but we'll get him through it. But nobody's booing this, believe me.
Okay, well, you know, I've been in choir and theater since I was small. I've always loved music. I've always loved live performances.
Yes.
And last summer, my daughter and I, we have a friend who is an opera singer, and he sings with the Richmond Symphony.
Really?
And they were doing a combined concert with the full orchestra. And so we went. He got us tickets. He was like, you have to come and see it. It's really good.
How
I was like,
old
okay,
is your
great.
Daughter?
She's 21.
Oh, okay.
And she sings, too. She's,
okay, good.
She's in a choir at this
great.
Moment, actually. And so we went to it. And I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked because when I had gone to symphony and operatic performances, I was always under the impression that you dress. You know, you dress for the occasion because this is something out of the ordinary. And so, you know, my daughter and I, we took great pains. We got in ball gowns and, you know, full makeup and made it an event. And we walk in and people are in shorts and T-shirts. There were people walking in Birkenstocks.
I cannot believe it.
I wanted to smack people.
I
wanted to walk up to them and be like, no, you need to go home and dress for this event.
That's right.
You are not attired properly. I'm sorry.
Leslie, we are on the same page, honey.
I'm like, you are going to the Richmond Symphony. You have paid $175 for these tickets and you're wearing shorts and a T-shirt? Are you crazy?
Yeah, they're crazy.
It just, you know, it peeved me a little.
I can see that.
But of course, it was fun because we are standing outside after the concert waiting for our friend to come out. And there were like four security guards behind us kind of directing people to go the right way as they came out of the theater. And as people came out of the theater, my daughter and I had a lot of fun mocking people. And apparently we were entertaining the security guards because at the end of it, they were all in a little huddle right behind us listening to us mock people and having a nice little laugh. So
that's really funny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going to do a drop. Hold on.
Hey, this is Keith Morris, Keith Morris and the Crooked Numbers, and you're listening to 94.7 Homegrown Radio.
Oh, well, thank you for that, Clinton.
42 minutes past the hour, if you're just listening to us. This is Homegrown, your show about local art, and we are talking with Judy Gary, conductor and music director of the Virginia Consort. If I can throw a question in, when I was but a lad.
Yes, yes.
there were a lot of conversations about how masculine the world of music direction and conducting was and how difficult it was.
Oh, it was.
How difficult it was for women to get in positions where they're conducting symphonies or
That's right.
How have you found that so? How is it for you? Talk.
Way back in the day, I did lose a job one time because I was not a man.
No.
Yes. But let me tell you, honey, that was a long time ago.
All right.
And since that time, I've had no problem, you know. But, you know, you go to school, you go to graduate school, you work. I've been an apprentice. I've sort of an assistant. You have to pay your dues.
Right.
I paid my dues. I was the assistant conductor of several groups up in the Boston area, all the while supporting myself by working at the Pewter Pot Muffin House.
Oh.
26 varieties of muffins.
No.
You know, we've all been there. But all the while, you're watching and you're learning and you're doing. And when I finally got the opportunity, I just went with it.
Yeah.
You know, so it has not been a big issue now.
Good.
I think years ago it was. Now it's not.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, I remember growing up, there was only one choir director in school.
Yeah.
That was male. My middle school choir director was male, but everybody else was female.
Yeah, and they are, and a lot of them are now.
Okay.
And also at the university level, it just depends on who's, you know. Kate Tamarkin at University Symphony has been fantastic, and I really don't think it's an issue anymore, at least not that I've seen.
Cool. So, what is the art? What is it that you have to do to get a whole room of people singing as if they are one and contiguous organ and like as if they are one multi-layered voice as opposed to just a bunch of people bumping in and off of each other?
You know, that's a really good question. I think that one thing that helped me enormously, well, first of all, everybody's auditioned. So you get really good people who want to be there, people. And then you pick music that I think something wonderful happens as you internalize a really fine piece of music, you know. And by fine, I don't mean snooty or snobby or something that ordinary people wouldn't love once they got to know it. Because I think one thing that stands between classical music and people is just familiarity.
Right.
I really do think that.
Anyway, oh, yeah.
And so as you learn a piece together, as you're intense about it, as you make it part of who you are, there's a wonderful thing that happens in a chorus. And some of it perhaps is the skill of the director, and you be quiet, you sing louder, you sing softer, that kind of thing. But the other magical thing that happens is if you can get people to listen as well as sing, the piece takes on a life of its own. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, and I think that's something that a lot of people don't understand about singing in a choir.
Yeah.
You're not just one person singing as loud as you can with people around you singing the exact same part as they can.
Right.
No, you are listening to each other and matching levels and matching tone at all times.
And you do it, and as it grows, you begin to internalize that and do it on a subconscious level.
Right. It becomes muscle memory.
It does.
Yeah.
So it's very meaningful. It's very powerful.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't realize that about choir. They don't realize how much it's a lot like acting in that you are not thinking about it and thinking about it intensely at the very same moment.
That's right. And you're trying to communicate.
Yes.
And the great music that you sing, really like the Mozart Requiem, you're singing your life.
Yeah.
The choir, the singers are singing their lives.
Yeah. We did, when I was in high school, we did the Requiem every year.
The Mozart Requiem?
Every year.
Every year?
All four combined choirs.
Where were you in high school?
I was in high school in Northern Virginia.
Uh-huh. They have some great programs up there.
Yes. And the choir director there was really hard-nosed. Like, she didn't take any crap.
You got to be demanding. You got to be demanding.
And she did. She demanded absolute excellence from all of us. And, you know, I was trained as a first soprano, so I spent most of my life in the rafters. But the awesome thing about it was that every year when we did that, it was a set, so everybody knew it was happening, and she would invite students who had graduated to come back and so at the end of their Christmas concert, when they did the Requiem, alumni would come up and join the choir and be able to sing it again. And it was so great. I went back for like 5 years.
That's amazing.
To do that, because it's such an amazing piece of music.
It is. It's amazing. You had a tremendous experience.
Oh, I did. I did. People always say, oh, college was the greatest time of my life. No. My middle school and high school was the greatest time for art for me.
Wow.
Because I was really lucky, and I had these great teachers and mentors that really showed me what music and theater, what live performance can really do, not just for the audience member, but for the performer.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, we did great stuff. We did great stuff. Yeah, we did great stuff. Well,
I believe so strongly in this, that we have a youth chorale as well. Mm-hmm. And it goes, I don't direct the two younger choirs, but it goes kindergarten through 12th grade.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, they'll also be a part of this concert that's happening on December 3rd, which is another thing that's happening on December 3rd.
Great.
Yeah, right.
So where is the concert?
The concert is at First Presbyterian Church.
Okay.
Down on Park Street.
Great.
In downtown. And there are two concerts, 4:30 and 7:30.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Clinton, we have to go.
You've got to go.
It's probably already sold out. It sells out just about every year.
Right? Well, the 4:30 sells out fairly soon. 7:30, there are plenty of tickets left.
There we go. We can go 7:30.
Go 7:30.
We can go to 7:30. Look at me. You want to go with me?
Aha!
He hates that. He hates when I ask.
Yeah, I know. We'll get him there.
He's such a curmudgeon sometimes.
I can see that.
Judy, thank you so much for coming and talking to us. It's been a pleasure meeting you.
An absolute pleasure.
Yes.
And I'm delighted.
I don't know. You might get me to audition.
I was going to say,
maybe.
Honestly.
Maybe.
Hello.
Maybe.
Thank you so much. I've loved it.
Thank you so much for coming. The Virginia Consort. We're just ticking off the pieces of Charlottesville artistic royalty on our show. And speaking of royalty, it's time for the Queen to enter the room. It's that part of the show that you've been waiting for, Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Aw, thank you, Clinton. So it's Thanksgiving weekend. Most of us were with family or friends, taking in the usual ritual of Thanksgiving, of eating and laughing. Some of us were on a vista in North Dakota, standing up for Mother Earth. Some of us were walking through the wreckage of our lives, searching for loved ones in a war-torn, bombed place we used to call home. And some still were in a theater, workshop, or the quiet of our own minds, creating something. No matter where you were or who you were with, I hope you expressed gratitude for where you were and who you were with. I hope you expressed gratitude for the people who got you there and how you got there, whether they're still with you or not. And today, I want to turn to the words of one of my favorite people. I hope you find wisdom with him, as I often do. Khalil Gibran. Then said a rich man, speak to us of giving. And he answered, you give but little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give. For what are your possessions but things you keep and guard for fear you may need them tomorrow? And tomorrow, what shall tomorrow bring to the overprudent dog burying bones in the trackless sand as he follows the pilgrims to the holy city? And what is fear of need, but need itself. Is not dread of thirst when your well is full, thirst that is unquenchable? There are those who give little of the much which they have, and they give it for recognition, and their hidden desire makes their gifts unwholesome. And there are those who have little and give it all. These are the believers in life and the bounty of life, and their coffer is never empty. There are those who give with joy, and that joy is their reward. And there are those who give with pain, and that pain is their baptism. And there are those who give and know not pain in giving, nor do they seek joy, nor give with mindfulness of virtue. They give as in yonder valley the myrtle breathes its fragrance into space. Though the hands of such as these God speaks, and from behind their eyes he smiles upon the earth. It is well to give when asked, but it is better to give unasked through understanding, and to open-handed the search for one who shall receive is joy greater than giving, and is there aught you would withhold? All you have shall someday be given. Therefore give now, that the season of giving may be yours and not your inheritors. You often say, I would give, but only to the deserving. The trees in your orchard say not so, nor the flocks in your pasture. They give that they may live, for to withhold is to perish. Surely he who is worthy to receive his days and his nights is worthy of all else from you. And he who has deserved to drink from the ocean of life deserves to fill his cup from your little stream. And what desert greater shall there be than that which lies in the courage and confidence, nay, the charity of receiving? And who are you that men should rend their bosom and unveil their pride, that you may see their worth naked and their pride unabashed? See first that you yourself deserve to be a giver and an instrument of giving. For in truth, it is life that gives unto life, while you who deem yourself a giver are but a witness. And you receivers, and you are all receivers, assume no weight of gratitude, lest you lay a yoke upon yourself and upon him who gives. Rather, rise together with the giver on his gifts as on wings. For to be overmindful of your debt is to doubt the generosity who has the free-hearted earth for mother and God for father. As we leave you today, I hope you had a break full of joy and thankfulness. Taking time is good. Now it's time to get back to work. Make something to give to the world, and don't doubt for a moment your power as giver, because we, the other artists and audience, will not doubt your generosity. And that's the weekly rant.
Well, well, well said, Leslie.
Oh, thank you, Clinton. You know what?
What?
One of the things I'm thankful for?
Mm?
You.
Aw, that's so sweet. Do we need to get you a psychiatry appointment? Because to be
psychiatry appointment,
thankful for me, that's
please.
Just like, that's just not a...
Your presence is one of the true gifts of my life.
You're thankful for the small things I can see.
I am. I am.
Well, I am so thankful that you're around and that you're doing this show with me. You know who's really giving it to me, though?
Uh-oh,
who's
here we
giving
go.
It to all of us?
Uh-oh, here we go.
Barack Insane Obama. That's
oh my
who
God.
It is.
What?
Oh, my goodness. He's just been giving to us and giving it to us and giving it to us.
Yeah, you know what I wish he would give to us? I wish
a break?
I wish.
A break? He's going to be giving us a break.
What I
That's
wish.
What he's going to be giving us.
No, what I wish is he would do, like, you know, one of those presidential decrees and stop this stupid pipeline. That's what I wish.
Oh,
that's.
Oh,
that's.
Oh, oh.
That's what I was wishing for over Thanksgiving.
Stamping down on the foot of commerce.
Yeah, I
am. Once again, I see why.
Water is life, my friend.
I can see why the sweater you're wearing is red, because you've been dealing with the commies, obviously.
Excuse me?
You've been dealing with... What? You want us to go back in the Stone Age? We're talking about our energy security. That's what we're talking about
here.
Yeah,
you know what? You know what? I want everyone...
You know what good old insane Obama would do if he was going to step in?
What?
He'd just throw a few drone strikes in there.
Oh, my God.
That's what he would do.
No, that is not what he would do.
He would so do.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't even have to dirty his hands coming in from the top.
Yeah,
you think the dogs are bad enough? Here, what does that sound? Coming in.
Oh, my
it's
God.
The Obama
no,
flight control.
It's not. Oh, my God.
Looks like we've got some Indians down there dropping it down some shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
You forgot your medication this morning, didn't you? That's what's happened.
It's always about the medication.
Well, it's obviously worn off. That's for
sure. Medication. No. Let me tell you.
Oh, God.
In fact, I'm going to go out. I'm going to find him right now.
I'm going to tell
him exactly what I think. Give him the two bags of shit.
Okay.
Because I can just take this.
Right.
But
for everyone who listened last week, he was headed to the White House last week and he didn't really make it. So, you know, I'm not worried. I'm not worried for this week. It's all going to be okay. I'll talk him down. I'll try to talk him down anyway. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We want to thank our guests, Peter Jones from Prism Coffee House and Judy Gary, the music director and conductor of Virginia Consort. Don't forget to go to the concert on December 3rd and do not forget to stop by prismcoffeehouse.org and see what's coming up at Seville Coffee for them. That's some really great music. We don't want to miss out. Thank you guys so much for sharing this hour with us this Sunday morning, and we will see you next week.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.